And praise the Lord. If you could take your scriptures and turn me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. How many of y'all know what chapter that is? It's the love chapter. I was very impressed this morning when I stepped into the adult Sunday school briefly and I heard Pastor Anna teaching on a very similar subject. So I was like, oh, I think the Holy Ghost is trying to get a hold of us. And you know, when the Holy Ghost tries to get a hold of us, he's going to get a hold of us. Amen. Man, let me tell you, it's been hot in South Florida, hasn't it? Oh, man. It's a life decision just to walk from your car to a building. I'm dead serious, man. Let me tell you something. This heat is bringing people to Jesus. I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw somebody post. They said, this heat is making me think about my salvation. I don't want to go to hell if this is what it feels like. I'm dead serious. I was like, man, this is crazy with this heat. I praise the Lord for AC and just being able to worship the Lord in a house of God where we got air conditioner, and I don't have to break a sweat till I preach. So it definitely feels good. But anyways, if you got your scriptures, look with me as I read. I'm going to be looking at the New King James Version. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could remove every mountain, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not prideful or puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For right now we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known by him. And now abide in faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, tonight I'm bringing a teaching entitled Loving Through Differences. How many of you will agree that sometimes we can have some differences with people? All right, no matter who you are, you're going to have differences with people. Can you say amen? Whether it's your parents, if you're a young person, or even some old folks, we get into it with our parents sometimes. You know, if it's your friends or your peers, leaders, bosses, spiritual leaders, we have differences with people. And in a perfect world, if this was a perfect world, it would be nice to imagine where we saw eye to eye with everybody and we agreed on everything. But here's some reality for you. We're different. We're all different. Let me hear you say, I'm different. We're all different. We look at things differently. Our upbringings are different. Our experiences are different. We got different personalities. Praise God for different personalities. Hello? All right? Because if we were all the same, we would have some problems in here. Especially if everybody was like me. I drive myself crazy sometimes. We have different outlooks on things. We don't always see the world the same way. Some of us, we're from different parts of the world, and our upbringings are different. Our worldviews are different. We've got a different way of filtering and learning things. How many of y'all know we don't all learn the same way? There's some people that they're more visual learners. There's some people that they're analytical learners. There's some people that, man, let me tell you, they like to take notes because that's the only way they're going to memorize things. But then there's other people that have something called photographic memories, and they can sit there and just blink their eyes and remember everything. How many of y'all know somebody like that? Man, don't you just envy those people? They never study. They never study. But while most differences should and really could be appreciated, there are times, friends, when those differences, there are some differences that take such a grip of our ability to cultivate healthy relationships that it causes so many people to walk in bitterness, It causes so many people to walk in offense. And sadly, so many people, even within the church, have unhealthy attitudes, and the list can go on. Now let me be very real with you. This is a teaching to bring us into sobriety because, friends, let me tell you, Jesus said that in the last days, the love of many would grow cold. And we are living in some cold days. Now, I'm not saying this because, you know, I have a very cynical view to this life or this world that we live in, but this is the reality of the world that we live in. Man, people will cut you off in a minute. People will speed past you just to catch a red light. I'm being serious. This is the world that we live in today. I mean, you could have, you know, one item in your hand and somebody could have like 50 coupons. Yes, this happened to me the other day. And they will sit there and just not say, okay, just go ahead. This is the world that we live in. You got to sit there and wait half an hour for 50 coupons. You remember that, Rebecca? It was just, whew. And what ends up happening is that, you know, we walk with all these inner turmoils inside of us because of the differences that we have with people. And many of us, we trump it down or we trump it up to something called unforgiveness. Now, you know, I hear this word unforgiveness thrown around so much. How many of y'all hear that word thrown around so much? Well, did you know that unforgiveness isn't even really a word? It's not. Look in Webster's dictionary. It's not in there. As a matter of fact, it's not even mentioned in the Bible. When you look at the word unforgiveness, the actual word for unforgiveness is really bitterness. And sadly, sometimes we can walk in so much bitterness that we lose sight of what we're even bitter on in the first place. How many of y'all been mad at somebody and you've been mad at somebody for so long that you just forget why you were mad in the first place? I'm being serious. There's times where people can argue. I've been like this, man. There are times when you can get into an argument with somebody, you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you completely forgot what you started arguing about in the first place. You know, while we won't admit this, I'm going to be very, very real with you when I say this. While we won't admit this, the root of most irreconcilable or irresolvable, the root of most, not all, but the root of most irresolvable conflicts and differences with people is a hurt ego. It's a hurt ego. I'm going to say this again. The root of most, not all, because there's some things that are legit pain and people have hurt you and they've done things. Abuse is something that should never, never be settled for. But at the root of most irresolvable conflicts and differences with people is a hurt ego. Our feelings got hurt. Our opinion wasn't listened to. Our perspective wasn't, quote unquote, respected. And then what ends up happening is because our ego was hurt, or we felt unappreciated, or we felt like what we had to say wasn't valued enough, we find ourselves in a place of bitterness. We find ourselves in a place of offense. I want you to see something here, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 5. Now, I'm going to use the New Living Translation. I want you to hear this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Hear that. That's ego. The opposite would be demanding everything that I want, what I want to see. It says it's not irritable and it keeps no records of wrong. Let me tell you something. There's some folks that when they get hurt, man, they pull out the laundry list of things that have been done to them. I'm being serious. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody and they said that they forgave you like 5 years ago and all of a sudden you get into an argument with them and they're like, hold on 1 second. In 2003, you said, you're like, what? You still fighting me over that? I'm being dead serious. There's some folks that they just don't let things go. They don't let things die. They sit here and they'll pack it away and they say that they forgive you and they love you. But sadly, they go through the motions, but there's nothing like conflict to resurrect some real feelings. Come on now. You know, while it's true that our feelings can be very real, what you go through is very real. And we genuinely can be disrespected. Yes, you can be disrespected. When the love of God begins to drive our hearts, ego goes out the door. Man, you know how many times Jesus was disrespected? Disrespected. Friends, I'm going to say this, and this is kind of going to be the theme of what I'm teaching on tonight, is that some things are just not worth it. some things are just not worth fighting for. Some things are just not worth fighting about. Some things are just not worth complaining about. You know, I shared this story with y'all some weeks back when I preached another message, but it was on the Whitfields and the Wesleys, okay? And if you're like me and you like to study church history and things like that, the Whitfields and the Wesleys were theological pioneers. They were theological pioneers to a lot of the modern day church movement that we see. But these men were in constant contention with each other. They were constantly fighting one another, constantly backbiting and trying to poke holes in one another's theology. And then as they drew closer and closer to death, because how many of y'all know we get old? George Whitfield wrote a letter to Charles Wesley, and it simply had one line in it. We loved more when we knew less. Man, let me tell you something. When I read that, my heart broke. Because friends, we can know so much. We can be so learned. We can be so grown. We can be so intelligent. We can be so politically astute in things. We can have such a wide range of worldview and things like that. We can have every alphabet behind our name because we're so educated. But man, we can still be rude. And we can still be unkind. And do you know that when you're rude and when you're unkind, you drive a wedge in the very nature by which we've been called? We've been called to love. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, you've been called to love. You know, 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up, or it makes you feel proud or important. But love builds up or edifies. How many of you love to be edified? I love to be edified. Jesus said it like this. He said that this would be the marquee sign that you are truly a follower of him. He says in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my followers, that you are my disciples. But church, it is so sad. It's very sad when we allow things to affect our love. And we'll sit here and we'll say, it doesn't affect my love. It doesn't affect my love. We don't talk to people for years and we'll say, it doesn't affect my love. We'll sit here and move our chair to the other side of the church. It doesn't affect my love. We'll sit here and stop coming to church. It doesn't affect my love. I'm being serious. But there's some questions that I want to ask you, and these aren't questions that I made up. These are questions directly extracted from this text. I just want to ask you these six questions tonight. Are we operating in patience and kindness towards one another? Do we live wishing that we had what others had? Friends, I'm going to touch on that real quick. There's some folks that they can't even celebrate when someone else has a success in their life. Jealousy is a real thing. It's a very real thing. Someone gets a new car, you mad because you ain't got a new car. Someone gets married, you mad because you still single. Somebody gets a new house, you get mad because you don't have a new house. Somebody has something happen. Somebody gets a new job, gets a new promotion, you mad because you don't have this going on inside of your life. Friends, we're not called to walk in jealousy. We're called to walk in love. Let me tell you something. When you begin to start celebrating people, watch what God does in your life. I'm serious. We need to start learning how to celebrate people. We need to start learning how to celebrate what God is doing in someone else's life. And I'm not talking about fake celebration like, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, I can't stand them. I'm being serious because that's how some people are. Listen to this. Are we always trying to show someone up or be boastful? What's the motivation for why you do what you do? Let me tell you. If you live your life, I'm going to say this, if you live your life to constantly prove the haters wrong, you're still a prisoner. You're still a prisoner. Live for the love and for the glory of God. Are we easily irritated, or do we hold these long, hard grudges? I go back to what I said earlier, mad for years. Somebody didn't say hi to you. Mad for years. Do we lose faith in people easily? Or we just give up on them so easily? Do we endure circumstances with people? Like I said, these are questions directly pulled from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And tonight what I want to do is I want to paint this picture or provide kind of like a model for us to overcome differences that we have with people. Now, please understand that what I'm teaching on tonight has to deal with our differences with other people. When somebody is in sin, you do need to confront sin. You do. But the key theme is this, is that it can still be done out of love. it can still be done out of love. So tonight, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this on the top of your notepad. 5 tools to dealing with differences with people. And the first one is this, is avoid making secondary matters the driving focus. Avoid making secondary matters the driving focus. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, 3 things will last forever. How many? 3 things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? The greatest of these is love. You see, many of our conflicts, friends, many of our conflicts result from veering from being driven by these foundation stones of our faith. These are the things that hold us together as being a Christian. And when we start to veer from these things, we start to make the non-essentials essential to our relationship with other people. We're supposed to have faith in God and faith in what God can do in other people, hope in God and hope in what God can do in other people, love for God and love for what God does inside of other people. This is how we're supposed to walk. But many conflicts begin when we make the non-essentials of life essential. Let me be very clear with you. I'm not poking holes. And listen, when I preach a message like this, it has nothing to do with a problem going on in the church. Like I said, I believe that this is confirmation. I heard Pastor Anna teaching on something very similar in the Sunday school. But let me be very real with you. Jesus is not going to make you go to heaven or hell because of your political status. I'm being serious, but some of us, we make like politics, like if it's like religion. Serious. It's a non-essential thing. It's a non-essential thing. You see, when we're more driven by our persuasions, by our opinions, by our points of view, rather than the fundamental foundations of faith, hope, and what? Then we're going to discover conflict. You're going to find conflict. You know, I've seen this played out in my own life, but when we come to Christ, when we first come to Christ, one of the biggest areas that's often resisted in our walk with Christ is the transformation and surrender of our view of things. Yeah, the transformation of our view of things. We got strong views of things. We got strong views of things. Some of us, we believe things for years. We've owned certain mantras and certain mottos for years. And when Christ comes into our life and he starts to show us loving people, and let me tell you, Christ will challenge you. He will show you somebody that rubs you the wrong way. I'm being dead serious. He will show you somebody that rubs you the wrong way to develop God inside of, to develop the fruit of the Spirit, of his Holy Spirit working inside of your heart. All of a sudden, you see somebody that starts to test your patience. Friends, God is still trying to teach you something. I made this statement a year ago, and I stand by this statement, that when the kingdom of God, or when the power of God shapes your view of things, this is called dying to self. When the kingdom of God or the power of God shapes your view of things, your conversation changes. It changes. Your focus changes. The way you view things starts to change. Your burdens start to change. The way you look at people starts to change. The way you look at conflict starts to change. Let me tell you, when I was young in Christ and when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I felt like it was my calling to argue with people about the Bible. I would be on Facebook till like 2-3 o'clock in the morning arguing theology. But it was doing nothing. I saw not one person get saved. Not one person got saved. And friends, let me tell you something. There are times when people are going to bring you arguments. There's going to be times when people are going to bring you debates. There's going to be times when people are going to bring you complaints. And we've got to learn to just dismiss these things. Walk away from these things, realizing that these are the non-essentials of life and they can potentially destroy us. I also want you to get this in your spirit too. People who you pray for the most will often come against you the most. Please understand that. And if you've been praying for somebody, please don't get baited by the non-essentials. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we know what it says, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual fight. We are wrestling against very real things. But friends, let me tell you, if you get baited by the non-essentials, the enemy wants you to lose your saltiness. The enemy wants you to lose your light. The enemy wants you to lose your influence in that person's life by baiting you into debates and arguments that are going to pull your testimony down. Don't get trapped. Don't get trapped. Number two, let people know exactly what you're struggling with. Now, let me be clear on this. Not everybody needs to know your business. But for the relationships that you have, get this in your spirit. Poor communication kills relationships. I'm gonna say this again. Poor communication kills relationships. If you're married in the room, look at your spouse and say, poor communication kills relationships. Serious. Listen, you know, many times we're looking for people to read in between our lines. We're looking for people to read in between our lines and to just know us. Know when I'm struggling. Know when I'm hurting. See the patterns of my behavior. You know, friends, sometimes we invite offense into our lives because we always expect people to understand us. We always expect people to know us. I want you to get this in your spirit, is that it is a poor model of relationship. It's even a poor model of friendship when you expect people to just know you. We're always changing. We're always developing. We're always encountering new things. We're always growing. We're always evolving. And change is not a bad thing. But let me tell you, who we are today is not who we were 5 years ago. It's not. And if it is, then there's an altar call for that too. It's called breakthrough and deliverance. I'm serious. We're always changing. We're always developing. So we can't always expect people just to get it or expect people to know us. And there's some of us that will put on the emotional show like, get me, understand me. And people are like, I don't know. We need to speak up. We need to tell people, hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through X, Y, and Z. We need to tell people, hey, I'm going, especially if you've got a relationship with that person. Be real. Otherwise, be in contention. Number three, pick and choose your battles. Pick and choose your battles. Friends, I'm going to say this with a lot of passion. Not everything needs to be an issue. Not everything needs to be an issue. Now, this somewhat goes with number one, avoid making the secondary issues the driving force. But the truth is, some of us, we are just driven by the most pettiest things. By the most pettiest things. Titus 3:9 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, talk about not getting caught up in foolish and stupid arguments. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. One of the few times I could say stupid from the pulpit and not get in trouble. He says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because they only produce quarrels. It's not worth it, church. Let me hear you say it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth getting into arguments and debates and fights over things that are just going to pull us down, over things that are going to pull our hearts down. You see, sometimes we find ourselves in these unnecessary conflicts and differences because we're arguing from a place of our perspective, and not everybody's going to understand our perspective. Not everybody is going to get it. And our view of things is not always understood or agreed with. And friends, when we live in that place, that goes back to what I said earlier. That's ego. That's ego. It's okay to disagree on secondary things as long as we can stand on the foundations. And Jesus is our foundation. If I can stand on Jesus, then that's what matters. That's what matters. We got to learn to appreciate our differences. Appreciate them. You know why this is important, church? Because there's no eraser for the words you say. There's none. There is no eraser for the words you say. And sadly, the words that we say, they can really affect people. They can really hurt people. They can really drive people down. And sometimes you can say something to somebody that can kill it. And even when you go back and you try to apologize, the words have been so hard and so hurtful that it takes years to try to restore something that could have just been fixed had we just dropped it. You see, we got to learn to let things go. Write this text down. I want you to read it when you have some time. Just meditate on it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 15. We often focus on that first part, work at living with peace with everyone and a holy life, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But look what he says. Look after each other. Look around this room tonight, church. This is your family. We are the body of Christ. Let me hear you say, we are the body. This is your family. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been brought at a price together. We got to learn to worship God together here on earth because we're going to have to do it together in eternity. This is the body of Christ. We are the family. Look what he says. Look after each other so that no one fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you to trouble you, corrupting many. Friends, we got to learn to stop these thoughts before they become thoughts, cultivated thoughts. We got to learn to stop these things that feed bitterness. You know, sometimes, I'm going to be very real with you, sometimes I just got to turn off the news because I get mad. I get mad. Sometimes I got to take a break from social media because I get mad, namely Facebook. Sometimes I just got to walk away from, sometimes I got to just turn off the radio. I walk into the car and my radio will be on, but it's not on. And my son will go on and blast, no, son, not in this season, please. Sometimes we got to do that because there are things that come to entertain thoughts, and we've got to focus on a living God, a powerful God, with things that only God can do. You see, learning to let things go is also understanding that some things just need to be taken straight to God. There are some times when we have some problems with people or some issues where only God can fix it. Only God can fix it. Only God can work. God can fix those problems. Which brings me to this understanding. We also need to learn our role. Hear this. There are some people, and I know that they're well-meaning and they love Jesus, but they feel that it's their calling to correct every issue that's going on in every single person's life. They feel they've been gifted with the 10th gift of the Holy Spirit. There's only 9, by the way. Okay. But the 10th gift of the Holy Spirit, telling everybody like it is. Friends, let me tell you something. You may not be the one called to address an issue. I'm going to say this again. You may not be the one called to address an issue. You may not even be the right person to address a certain issue. Let me be very plain with you. Sometimes we got certain areas in our own life that need correction. How are you going to give financial advice to somebody when you always broke? Let me give you some financial advice. Do you even pay your bills? Serious. You know, Jesus never said that we couldn't make judgments. He never said that. What he said was that there needed to be a heart evaluation before we went to correct somebody, before we went to help somebody. Because how can we correct, or how can we help somebody, or how can we work out an issue with somebody when we still first got these things going on inside of our heart? You know, Matthew chapter 7 is often a misquoted passage of scripture. And, you know, people like to use it for a lot of things to justify their lifestyle. You know, don't judge. But that's not what Jesus was saying. You see, when you read verses 3-5 in Matthew 7, he says, "And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a table leg or a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help get rid of the speck in your eye,' when you can't see the past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite." Look what he says here. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. He said, you can address an issue in someone else's life. But man, you got to make sure first that the heart is right, that there's certain reasons that you're coming at that person with the right perspective, with the right mindset. Because man, let me tell you something. An over-emotionalized approach will be a very destructive approach. It will be a very destructive approach. Friends, we can never deal with problems with each other. We can never deal with differences healthily when we come at somebody argumentative or over-emotionalized. It's not going to happen. The minute that we come at somebody like that, this is why we have to be in prayer. We got to ask the Lord, "Lord, tame my emotions. Keep my heart, Lord. Let your words be speaking from my mouth." Because if not, there's going to be contention. There's going to be fight. Church, did you know that you can be upset but still keep your cool? The Bible doesn't demonize you for being upset. The Bible doesn't demonize you for having conflict. The Bible doesn't demonize you for, you know, having disagreements with people. You're going to be angry. But there's a difference between being angry and sinning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Friends, let me tell you something. That there are many people that they allow their anger to get the best of them, and they say the words that they shouldn't say. They respond in ways that they shouldn't respond. Man, they delete people's phone number before they've even had a chance to work out the issue. I'm being serious. This is what ends up happening. and it causes constant division. Constant division. Point number four. Appreciate and exalt strengths. We've got to learn to start seeing the good in things, church. Not everything is bad. Not everything is bad. Not everything is wrong. Not everything is a problem. Not everything is an issue. You see, we often focus so much on the wrong or even the perceived wrong of things that we fail to see what's happening right. We fail to see the good that's happening. We look at somebody that like, for example, they may come into church late. Oh, they always late. But they're here. Hello, they're here. Let the Holy Ghost work on them. They're here. Let God work on them. Man, we like to nitpick at every little single issue. Church, people evolve. Environments evolve. Relationships evolve. And sometimes we focus so much on the growing pains or even the shifts of growth in our lives or even in the lives of other people, and we don't recognize it because we have these perceived motions or notions of how we think things should be. And we get mad. And we don't see the strengths in people. We don't see it. How many opportunities do we miss, church? How many opportunities do we miss in celebrating the successes of our brothers and sisters in Christ because we're fixed in a certain way? We only see the negative. I'll go back to what I said earlier. Somebody hurt you 5 years ago, but look what God has done in their life now. Look how much they've grown today. Look how God is using them. How God has held them together. How they've grown in the Lord. But you still sit here fixed on what they did 5 years ago. Look how God has shifted them. Look how they praise. Look how they worship. Look how they have died to self. But we only remember the time that they cut us off in the parking lot at church. Church, as I wrap this up, we do need to confront issues. But when we do confront these issues, number five, we have to confront it in love. We can live in love. As I said in the opening of this message, we're not always going to agree on everything. We're not always going to see eye to eye on everything, but we can definitely learn how to love. We can definitely walk in love. I want you to write this down, and I think that this is so important. Because confrontation has become a real big word. We like to confront things. Like I said earlier, there's some folks that, you know, they feel like it's their gift to confront everything. But write this down. Confrontation begins first with a work in you. Confrontation begins first with a work in you. Confrontation begins with a heart evaluation before God and ourselves. I love how Paul opens up this text. He says, I can speak with the tongue of men and of angels. I heard somebody say it like this. What good is it if you speak in tongues but you're mean in English? Seriously. What good is it? There's some folks that they can see my tie, retie my bow tie, Toyota, Suzuki, Honda. But man, let me tell you, they are surly and nasty and pickly in English. Can't say nothing good. Nothing positive. What good is it? You think I want somebody prophesying over me who walks in pride? You think I want somebody walking in and trying to, you know, lay hands on me and do all this? And this is not prideful. I'm not saying this prideful. I'll let anybody pray for me. But this is the reality, is that there's some people that they can be so surly. But what good is it if we don't have love? What good is it? You see, confrontation first begins with a heart evaluation before God and ourselves. You see, too often we make everything about the difference that we have with other people, about the person. And we seldom ask what our role was in that situation. Or even, God, tame my heart. Put a guard over my mouth that I won't say things that would offend, that I won't say things that would break people down. God will settle our heart first. I'm going to wrap this up with this text. And, you know, I think I've read this text a million times, and I've preached from here 100 times, and I'm sure Pastor Maria and Pastor Anna have preached from here 100 times. But you know, as I began to study the Greek of this text, it never really came alive to me as it did when I began to go into the original language. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, many of us, we've heard it. It says, be anxious for nothing, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? But as I began to look up that word anxious, I was taken back and just mind blown by what that word actually means in the original language. You see, much more than just being troubled with cares, it actually means to seek to promote one's own personal interest. And I was mind blown by that. You see, oftentimes when I read the original language, I take the definition and I put it in the text and I read it with that text. So I want you to hear this now. Before you seek your own personal interest, be in prayer, be in supplication, have thanksgiving towards God, and his peace will guard your heart and your mind toward Christ Jesus. Man, let me tell you something. When we have a difference with somebody, it's very fleshly and natural for us to just want to give somebody a piece of our mind. I'm about to go tell them something today. They're going to hear what I got to say. I'm about to go tell my boss today. How. This is what we want to do. This is the flesh, right? This is the flesh. If you don't have this, then man, you need to take the mic, because I go through this. This is the flesh. When somebody upsets us, the flesh starts to rise up inside of us. We're ready to tail somebody off. When somebody cuts us off on the road, we're ready to, you know, hit it up and cut them right back. Okay? Or y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all give the look. How many of y'all give the look? I'm notorious for the look. Somebody cut me off, catch the red light, I just drive right up next to them and be like, that look will get you in trouble. I'm being serious. But all of that, church, all of that is seeking your own personal interest. I want them to feel some type of way because they hurt me. They offended me. They drew me into a place where now I'm bitter. I'm upset. They were the cause of my pain, and they need to know it. But before you do all of that, look what the Bible says. Before you seek your own personal interests, be in prayer, be in supplication and thanksgiving toward God, and his peace, which surpasses all understanding, his peace. God gives you a peace like no other. His peace is like no other. His love is like no other. His peace will guard your heart, will guard your mind, will guard your actions, will guard the way that you deal with other people, will guard your responses, will guard your reactions. It'll guard your thumbs when you get ready to go on Facebook. It'll guard all kind of things. Come on now. All kind of things. How many of y'all know our thumbs got tongues? I'm telling you, because the Lord deals with me on these things. Church, we can't say that we love God and constantly live in contention with people. It's not possible. If we're always fighting with somebody, it's not just that somebody. You got a problem with your mama, with your uncle, with your cousin, with your boss, with your coworkers, with your community, with your neighbors. Everybody's an issue. Maybe it's you. Thus save the Lord. I'm being serious. Maybe it's you. You got a problem with everybody. You can't live in constant contention with people and say that you love God. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not. It kills the entire model of the kingdom. We've been called to love God. We've been called to love people. We've been called to love to serve. Oh, man. I could preach a whole message on that one. Like, let me come pray for this person. Oh, I'm offended by that person. Let me go pray for this person over here. Church, we got to let go of bitterness. We got to let go of clamor. We got to let go of slander. We got to let go of anger. We got to let go of all these things that draw us down into a place of constant difference with people. Yes, you're not going to always agree with everything. Yes, there's going to be some times when you don't see eye to eye. But yes, you can love. Let me hear you say, I can love. You can walk in love. You can walk in the love of God. Let me hear you say, I can walk in the love of God. You can walk in the love of God. We can walk in the love of Jesus Christ. It was love that saved us. It was love that transformed us. It was love that healed us. It was love that brought us. It was love that renewed us. It was love that freed us. So if it was love that made you, it's love that can grow you. It's love that can mold you. It's love that can show you. It's love that can direct you. It's love that can heal you. And it's love that can make you usable in other people's lives. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward tonight. And as we get ready to pray, I know that this is a very real subject, because like I said in the beginning of this teaching, we are living in an hour where kindness is a rarity, where walking in love is a rarity, where simple pleasantries, good morning, how are you, thank you, good day, you're welcome, have been lost. They've been lost. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that the next wave of motivational speaking today is going to be teaching people how to say good morning. Watch. Watch. Patent that. Serious. Serious. Tony Robbins is going to come out with a videotape series. 50 ways how to say good morning. Y'all going to be buying it too. Church, we need to learn how to love through our differences. We need to learn how to love even when we disagree. We got to learn to dismiss things. And yes, sometimes dismissing things is going to upset people, because some people just want to draw you into a conflict. Some people, they thrive off of that. They like that. They like to argue. And when you don't argue, they think you don't appreciate them. And it's like, I just don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. And it's not that we're being passive about these things. It's that love is the only force that can change an enemy into a friend. Martin Luther King said that. Love. Jesus said that when you love your enemies, it messes with their head. Heaps burning coals on their head. They don't know what's going on. You see, love makes you unique. And if there was ever an hour where love could have its greatest force, it's in an hour where people are so cold. And we have the opportunity to be so different. Church, you can be so different. Young person, when you get ready to go to your school, you can be so different. Friends, when you get ready to turn on that computer or that phone and you go on social media, you can be so different. You can be so different. Employee, employer, when you get ready to go to work tomorrow, you can be so different. Husband, wife, you can be so different. Neighbor, you can be so different. Just in walking in the love of Jesus. Tonight, I want to ask you, are you walking in His love? Are you walking in His love? Are we allowing differences to divide us? Do we allow differences to separate us? Do we allow differences to drive the wedge between our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ? Tonight, if it's your heart to commit to saying, I choose to walk in the love of Christ. I choose to walk in the love of Jesus. And I want to give my heart to the Lord. And I say, God, my heart belongs to you. Lord, mold it, grow it, show it, do whatever you want to do. I want to walk in your love. I want to be a manifestation of your love. I want to be an example of your love. So tonight, here's my heart. Here's my mouth. Here's my thoughts. Here's my body. Here's my reactions. I want to walk in your love. This is very hard.
because there's some of us that we got some very real pains, some very real environments. But friends, this is a dying to self message. And I'm telling you that when you die to self, you will rise to life, and Christ will do what eye has not seen and what ear has not heard. So if that's you tonight, if you are saying, I commit to walking in the love of Jesus, I want you to come down to this altar, and not as a vent or a rant. I want you to lift hands to heaven, and I want you to say, God, I commit to walking in your love.